The recording has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the non-contracted parties health intersessional planning call held on the 5th of January 2017. On the call today, we have Anna Luke, Barbara Leonard, Chris Wilson, Edward Morris, Farzan Ahmadi, John Terry, Klaus Stoll, Lori Schumann, Confident Delegi, Ralph Lomer, Renata Akina, Tapan Parvainen, Tatiana Tropina, Tony Holmes, Ricky Schecker, Wolf Ulrich Spellman. We have received apologies from Adam Peet, Marianne Bakoshi, and Chantal Doxan. And as I can start, we have Rob Hogarth, Terry Agnew, Benedetta Rossi, and myself, Ozan Shai. I would like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Rob.
Thanks very much, Ozan. If you could make me a presenter, that would be helpful. We don't have a lot of slides, but I want to jump around a little bit if we need to. Happy New Year and welcome, everybody. Very much appreciate everybody being able to join us so quickly into the new year. On the screen right now, you note our proposed agenda for the call today. We've done the introductions and roll call. We'll do a logistics update with Benedetta, who will update us on a number of things. And then we'll focus the bulk of our conversation on the programming discussion. We had a really good call just before the holiday break, and there were a number of ideas, thoughts, sort of culminating in a number of, I won't call them decisions, but sort of directions that we were beginning to take. So I'll summarize those, and then we'll talk about some of the programming issues that we've got. If at all possible, what I would like to be able to do is also start talking about volunteers. But if we don't get to that, we weren't able to get to that last time appropriately, so we might be able to do that via email. One other logistical item, I am having my own connectivity problems here in my office. So, like, I just dropped out of the Adobe Connect room. So on those occasions, I won't be able to see the hands going up. Ozan and Benedetta, I will rely on you guys to help me out with that. Is there anything that anyone would like to add to the agenda that we don't have on our general outline here, something that we definitely need to discuss? Hearing nothing, we'll accept the agenda as it is, and, of course, if there's any other business toward the end or if we have time, we'll definitely address it. Ozan, if you could just flick up the second slide that I sent you. Again, I can't see it, but I'll trust that it's going up. I just wanted to remind all of you who aren't already well reminded of this that as of today, it's 40 days until we have this meeting. So if there's any need for encouragement to sort of nail some things down, resolve any issues in terms of programming or anything, I just wanted to reinforce that a little bit for you. This is something that we do from a staff perspective when we've got public meetings, and we usually start about on the 90-day mark to help increase people's energy and stress levels. So I just wanted to remind you all sort of where we stand on that. That's just sort of a tone setter, if I can, for the day's call. Benedetta, you've been able to join us. Could you give us an update on the logistical front in terms of travel arrangements and other things that you can share with the group? And we'll run through that and identify if we've got any specific fire drills or anything else that we have to address. I'll turn the mic over to you, Benedetta. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. This is Benedetta Rossi speaking for the transcript. In terms of the logistical update, it's fairly brief. I believe that there was a slight delay in submitting the welcome emails, as we refer to them within ICANN, so the travel email notifying delegates of their approved arrival and departure dates. And that was due to, obviously, there was the Christmas break, and we did everything that we needed to do on our end to submit the names to the travel team, and the travel team submitted them for security clearance. Unfortunately, the security clearance took longer than anticipated, and the results came back during the Christmas break after Christmas Day. So all of the travel emails were sent out on January the 2nd. So if anybody for some reason hasn't received it, please let us know. I checked with the travel team yesterday, and they confirmed that all of them have been submitted and were all being processed. So you should all have the welcome email that states that you you can start liaising with the travel provider FCM to book your travel. So that's all really about the travel component. The other item is just checking whether you have, within your communities, whether you've made decisions about the constituency meetings happening after the intersessional is finished, so the half day on the Thursday. So far on our list, we have the ISPCP, NCUC, and NCSG, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was IPC, not ISPs.
No, no, it was ISPs. It was Tony who notified us on the last call. I know that the Chantel let me know that the IPC was at the time of the discussion was still debating it, but I think that there was a call in the meantime, so that might have been finalized. Okay, so I see that the BC will also have a meeting, and Laura is saying the IPC as well. Is that the chat is moving really, really fast? So, Laura, are you confirming that the IPC will also hold a meeting, a constituency meeting on the Thursday? Okay. Yeah, because the last I heard, Chantel said that it was still pending, so I'm not sure if something happened in between time.
Well, Greg has just joined the call, so we'll let him. Yeah, we'll let him confirm. Thanks, Greg. I saw the chat. Thanks, Benedetta.
So yes, Greg is confirming that they will be holding one.
Great. Any questions for Benedetta? What? I'm back in the room. I see Renata. Renata, you have the floor.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me well. This is
Renata. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks. So I missed a little about the agenda inclusion, agenda item inclusion, but also this is something about more general for planning the meeting. Do we have a list of all the people that are going already up? And I noticed that the invitation letter is on for GDD Summit and other events, but not for the intersessional. Could it be possible to have the visa invitation letter also for this event? I understand, of course, that very few countries need visa, but still it's important to have it for, especially for folks coming from Latin America. So if it's possible to arrange that, and any other issues concerning the meeting planning or scheduling on, I trust it will be still discussed on the programming item. Is that correct? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Renata. Yeah, Benedetta, do you want to address the question of the visa letter? We had a couple of requests come in over the break. While the meetings team was out on break. We've reached out to them right when we all got back earlier this week. Do we have an update on that, Benedetta, in terms of the availability of that or when that's going to be able to be available to folks?
Unfortunately, I do not have an update today, but I'm sure that I should have something by the end of the day today. So I can circulate something on the planning mailing list. As an update about this. My apologies, I haven't heard back yet about this.
Thank you, and we'll make sure that if that letter is produced, that we get that posted on the Wiki space. That's clearly very important, particularly since I threw up that 40-day time frame. So thanks for reminding us and noting that, Renata. That's very helpful. In terms of the list of folks, this is something that I think, Ed, you had reached out to me too earlier in the week on. And I will confess, this is a relatively new sensitivity that I've developed over the course of the last year with various regions and governments continuing to ramp up the matters of privacy. We have traditionally provided at every one of these intersessional meetings a complete bio package, if you will, for all the attendees that we share when folks show up. What we've never done, just because we had never thought to do it, was post the list of attendees prior to the meeting. You know, when I chatted a bit with some of our meetings colleagues about this in terms of what we do with the ICANN public meetings, where we also don't really produce a list of these, and then only then produce a list of supported travelers after the meeting, is that there has been heightened sensitivity from a privacy perspective. And what we didn't do when we reached out and asked you guys that probably we need to remedy is whether your delegates are comfortable with us sharing publicly the information about their travel. We typically haven't done it prior to having everything finalized because there are situations where folks end up applying for visas and don't get them, where there are other issues where folks are just not comfortable sharing that or you know, saying, yeah, I tried to go, but I didn't get my visa or something else. If you all are within your own communities willing to have us share that information, even if it's just for planning purposes, I'd be happy to do that. I would like to get a read from folks in terms of your level of comfort, whether on a scale of 1 to 10, this is very important from a privacy perspective for a 10 not to release it until we have the confirmed list, or it's not really that big a deal for you, so you'd rate it 1. But I am very sensitive to that and actually hadn't thought about it in terms of the planning process. So I don't know if that answers your question, Renata. But we do produce the list because the people who are going who are supported by ICANN, we do have a transparency obligation there, but we typically have not done it prior to the meeting. You know, if you want to look back and see people who have attended the meetings in the past, yeah, that information is all there. We just haven't done it beforehand. And that's something that, as Benedetta indicated earlier, we've got to get together with the meetings team actually tomorrow to resolve any other logistical items, to confirm things, and a number of fronts with travel. So we'll discuss that with them. And so I will work to see if we can have that list available for you all before our next planning call next week at the same time. Does anyone have any observations or comments they'd like to make out of that? I note in the queue I've got Benedetta. Renata, I don't know if that's a new hand. If so, you're in the queue, and anybody else. Benedetta, you're first.
Thank you, Rob. My understanding, based on Ed's comment via email, was to share the list of delegates within the planning team as opposed to sharing it publicly. And that is actually something that we did, I believe, last year. Because remember, I created a document that just included the list of the delegates as of X date. So whenever I produced the document, and that was circulated just internally within the planning team, just so that the various groups were aware of who the other attendees were from the different groups. So I don't know if that's some sort of privacy breach if we just send it to the to the NCPH intersessional planning mailing list, which is a closed group, because I believe a few of you have mentioned. But that would be helpful in terms of planning for the actual topics to see who the different delegates are, as opposed to publishing it on the wiki, which is something that, as you said, Rob, is something we do later on, and we publish the full bio document, et cetera, and that's publicly accessible.
All right, great. I'm looking at the chat. I know Ed has raised his hand, but then it went back down, so I don't know if... we've resolved that, Ed. I think you're responding to that. So, yeah, let's take that approach. I'm treating, as some of you have, Greg's comment as the joke that it is. So, yeah, let's go ahead. If that's what we have done in the past, let's continue that process with the understanding that, you know, things will change over the next 40 days. People have changes in their personal or professional lives that may make the list incomplete, but so long as we have that date that says as of, this is who we're hoping or this is who we're planning, let's go ahead and do that. So let's do that, Benedetta, when after this call, Ozan, you're producing the post-meeting report, the transcript, the chat, and things like that. Let's get out the latest version. We'll give you some time there, Benedetta, to polish that up a little bit to reflect the newest date and maybe some additional information from Joseph today. And then we'll get that out. And then I'll follow up with an updated version 3.0 of the framework document where I'll just reflect that this was something that we agreed to do again this year. Great. Anything else, Benedetta, on your list from a logistics standpoint?
No, I think that's all for today. Thank you.
Great. And as Tatiana and Farzaneh have said in the chat, we'll scrub that so that we aren't, let's have people's names, but not the other personally identifiable information, if we can keep that out, just as a good practice on our part. Just one other quick observation. This was at the very beginning of the chat. Thank you very much, Tapani, for the weather report. I don't know if it's similar weather in Iceland, but please make sure to advise all of your delegates to bundle up. The one final thing that Renate reminded me of to share with you is that Benedetta and I are in discussions, and we're just trying to work through the calendar. But we are planning to proceed with the quote-unquote newcomer webinar. It seemed to be successful last year, so we are going to do that. And I hope by our call next week, we'll be able to share with you the date that we can squeeze that in so that folks who are going to be new to the meeting, we can just spend some separate time with them, reinforcing whatever briefings you've done as meeting planners or community leaders with your delegates, just to give them the background of the meeting, how it's come to be, and sort of what they can expect. If any of you would like to participate as presenters or to give your perspective to the group as part of that, please let Benedetta and I know that. I think you can trust us to be fairly, very open and fair in how we present the information as we were last year. But I'm more than happy to have additional help or support in that regard as well. All right, any final comments or questions about logistics? Seeing none, unless Benedetta, that's a new hand. You can put yours down. Farzaneh, you just put your hand up, so I'll turn the mic over to you. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ed. Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. I was wondering, when is the delegates reception? Because we might, and if it has been confirmed, because we might want to do other dinners, and that would be good to know. Thank you.
Thanks. We have proposed that in the framework document as the evening of day one. So that would be the night of the 14th. And I think a number of folks were already thinking about doing separate dinners or having separate events the night of the 15th. And obviously, a number of folks will be getting in on the 13th, and that's covered by those who are traveling their per diem. So if you guys want to organize something of your groups that night of the 13th as well, please feel free to do that. But right now, Farzaneh, we're targeting the 14th.
So you know that there is some people might come with their partners as Valentine's night, but I don't have a problem with that, but you might want to consider just when arranging it.
What we have done in the past is we have, noting that we've got 50 delegates, we usually plan for about 70, 75 attendees to the reception. Typically, we have done that because there are outreach opportunities. And I know some of your groups have made some connections with folks in Iceland. And so if that is going to be the case, just please let us know. If you've got a plus one, or if there are a number of people from the local university or business or something else who will be joining us, that would be very helpful. That will just help us in terms of our coordination with the meetings team. Again, we're targeting like 70 people, but if it's going to end up being 80 or something like that, we want to know so that we can make sure that everybody has something to eat. Typically, and this is also for those of you who are new to the meeting, for that reception, our typical planning is that for it to be quote-unquote heavy hors d'oeuvres, with the idea that if someone chooses based upon jet lag or work schedule or something else, that that's going to be your only meal for that evening, that you can make a meal of it. Other folks have, you know, come by, hung out for an hour and a half, and then they go out for dinner as a group. So, you know, that's a flexible time where you can, you know, also plan an event that evening. Farzaneh, we try to get the thing started early enough, and it's generally a 2.5-hour block. For those who want to stay can, those who have some other plans can also take advantage of that. Great. Thanks all for that feedback, and always there are additional elements that we need to add to the update. So thanks very much for those questions and comments. Please feel free at any time to use the mailing list to ask those questions of us for the benefit of the whole planning team as well between these calls. Let's turn to the programming discussion. What I'll do is I'll summarize a little bit of what you all discussed last time in terms of the various presentations, and I hope you'll see that reflected in this list of 10 session ideas. One of the major things or breakthroughs I think that we had last week or 2 weeks ago was considering moving the breakout sessions, at least part of the breakout session, an hour and a half, to the beginning of the meeting. So in other words, on day one, that Tuesday, everybody coming together for an introductory session to say hello, and then having the groups break out individually to talk about their preparations for the meeting and other things. Just, I think, a comment somebody made just to make sure that we're all on the same page. So when I produce the version 3.0 after this call, you'll see that that reflected, just to give you a sense as to how that might look, how that might work out going forward. But that was one of the breakthroughs in the call last time. There was also a discussion about eliminating or recasting the discussion with the counselors. There was an initial suggestion to, you know, have a separate session for the counselors or for them to be able to have some time together. There was some conversation there about perhaps broadening that session to be a broad topic session with the GNSO counselors in attendance. There were a couple of comments about how that would be a relatively lower priority for that session than any others. And so you'll see on the slide I have up in the AC room, I slid that down to number 10. This isn't a priority list, but I just, you know, pulled it in so it could be easily excised or played around with. You also wanted, as a group, generally to reexamine the session regarding this concept of issues of common interest. You'll recall that in the past list of potential sessions, we had a couple. One was on policy through contracts. The other was rights protection management. And the conversation on our last call basically said, yeah, you know, we like those as examples, but those are probably not ones that we collectively want to talk about. So let's see if we can think, noodle a little bit, and decide if there are other issues of common interest that might have higher priorities than these. And so that was an area that you were all going to go back and talk with your communities about and see if you had some additional thoughts there on topics or sessions. There was also an idea for a different session, sort of growing out of that reexamination of areas of common interest that Farzaneh and Kathy identified. And they committed to going back and developing a proposal for what that session might look like. Farzaneh shared that with the list last night or this morning. So if we have some time, you all might want to talk about that, or otherwise, like Wolf Ulrich has always done, and I think a couple of others, just comment on the list in terms of support for that session or ways that you might tweak it. I think there were a couple of edits suggested there as well. And finally, just more of a recognized observation, I think you made this, Chris, that said, gee, wow, we're only at about 10, and with some of our discussions and narrowing things, we may actually be down to about 8. So this may not be as heavy lifting as we thought in terms of, you know, having to winnow down the list. I think that the conversations now over the next half hour may be how you might look more specifically at some of these sessions, but I think you're pretty close to having an overall general list together. So that's just my summary of the things that you all focused on, some decisions or highlighted areas of discussion you reached last week. I'll throw the floor open to hands if anyone wants to get in the queue to talk about some specific items or specific areas that may have come up with some of your conversations with the different groups. I'll take a peek here through the chat as well to see if there's something else that might be cropping up that folks are just typing. While I wait for hands to go up, there's been one other development that I'm sure a number of you saw, and I don't know if it impacts what you all have been talking about, but item 4, the discussion with the staff leader of the ICANN compliance function. Some of you may have seen the announcement that went out yesterday. 2 weeks ago, I said, oh, nothing's going to happen for several weeks. Well, 2 weeks later, we get the announcement that Jamie Hedlund is going to be replacing Alan Grogan. I've already reached out to Jamie to let him know that there was interest expressed among this group for him to talk with the community. I haven't heard back from him yet because I just sent that out yesterday afternoon. But I'm keeping that area alive for now. Whether that becomes a complete group session or whether in some of your breakout sessions, some of you want to chat with Jamie individually, I'm flagging that for now and keeping that open as a potential thing. Still looking in the chat room for any hands going up. Benedetta, Ozan, you all have been observing the chat as it goes through. If you can flag anything in there, that would be great. In the meantime, Renata, you have raised your hand. You'll be followed by Ed. Renata, you have the floor.
Thank you, Renata. I was just wondering about numbers 5 and 6, GNSO review implementation, specific exposures to be determined, but what was in the previous version? I don't really remember, just trying to clarify. And the discussion of the bylaws drafting team report, this was also something inherited from last list, I believe. Just trying to get those confirmations. Thank you.
Thanks, Renata. Yeah, these were ones that I didn't take off the list. They were not removed. On the GNSO review implementation, something that was actually a topic of the 2016 NCPH meeting, I think you all recognize that was an area that you wanted to explore, but I've got the little addendum specific subjects TBD simply because I don't think that there was any agreement or specific areas that you wanted to focus on. Once we have a general consensus that you do want to keep that topic and we assign some chairs for that area, folks might want to refine specifically what topics you want to talk about in that regard. Wolf Ulrich, you can remind me, because I kept number 6 on the list, because you had originally, I think, proposed it, a discussion of the bylaws drafting team report. I think someone had made a comment about it on our call last week, but I didn't, you know, get consensus one way or another whether to keep it on or take it off, so I left it on this list for this call just to get some confirmation whether that continued to be an area that we could explore or talk about a little bit. So that, Renata, is why that one's on there. I hope that was responsive to your two questions about 5 and 6. Ed, you're next in the queue, so I'll turn the microphone over to you, sir. I am not hearing you, Ed, so maybe you need to come off mute.
Is
Is anyone else having similar problems not being able to hear Ed?
Can't hear him.
Okay, thank you. Ozan, we might want to look into that, whether that's Ed's mic. You want to try again, Ed? Nope, nothing. So let's keep trying on that. Maybe behind the scenes, Ozan, you can try that out. Thank you, everybody. I was in the wrong little chat pod. Thanks, Ozan. As I explained on the last call, we have essentially seven plenary sessions. We've got, in terms of slots, under the current outline. There's a vehicle now for potentially playing with that because, as Lori indicated, and I think there was some support from a number of you, that doesn't require you all to have, number one, seven sessions, or be tied to the current allocation of about 75 minutes per session. If some of these topics actually merit shorter periods of time, we can certainly do that. If some of them merit longer periods of time, we can do that as well. I think either of those would work. Item 8, I think, is a good example of that. And a number of you commented on Farzaneh's contribution that she and Kathy pulled together, maintaining the GNSO's traditional policymaking leadership position at ICANN. In one of my back and forth with Kathy, she indicated that this might be, given the meatiness of the nature, something that potentially goes longer than 75 minutes. Depending upon, you know, where things come out on this. So I think that's something to consider as you look at these different areas, just in terms of the time commitment and how much energy you want to devote to any of these particular issues. Looking back on for hands up, I still see Ed's. Are we having any luck? With him, Ozan. Still no luck. Still can't hear you, Ed. All right. I'm scrolling through the chat just to make sure that I capture for the recording anything that in terms of folks who are noting feedback or comments. Gotten a couple comments in support of the item 8. Ed, I'm going to put you in stasis for the moment until we resolve your microphone issues. Farzaneh, your hand is up, so I will give you the floor to make a comment generally or to share a comment or ask some questions about your proposal for number 8. Please, you have the microphone.
Thank you, Rob. Farzaneh Baydi speaking. So I can see that we have 10 topics here. And do we have to decide whether we want to have these topics on for the intersessional today? And also we have to discuss who should be the leader of what. I guess that we do that after we decide on the topics. But on specifically on the discussion of bylaw drafting team report, I don't think that we need to discuss this. I think Wolf is not here to tell us why he suggested this. I cannot remember it. But I think our work is done in that report, and it's something that is taken up in the council, in the GNSO council. The other thing that I saw, I think Vicky mentioned, was that number 8 topic should be, the title should have should mention GNSO council. We can, of course, discuss this on the mailing list, but when we drafted this, I specifically had in mind that sometimes even the public comments that we make could be effective or ineffective And maybe we should not only limit the discussion to the GNSO Council and what it does, but to like a broader issuing public comments and how we get together and focus on one issue and then put it through the council and how council decides on topics to work on. So I think it would be broad, but I'm going to we can discuss this definitely on the mailing list. So I can see that Ed hand up and he's here, so I'm just going to go. Thank you.
Thanks, Farzana. Yeah, as you were talking, I went ahead and moved the slide down to I had a placeholder for yours, your concept. And there's been very positive feedback, no negative feedback, importantly, on this session. So this may be an area where a number of you do want to focus on providing some additional feedback. Just in your comments there, Farzana, you identified potential additional questions that you might add to this. So I will look at, as I produce version 3.0 of this agenda, there are a couple of ways to go. You have all, and so one of them would be to begin just pulling things out of the hat in terms of assigning not individuals, but communities who would take a leadership role on some of these sessions, and then folks from those communities could volunteer with the understanding that generally these are going to be consensus sessions, and people can horse trade if they don't like the random pull out of the hat assignments. That I do. We did something similar last year, and it seemed to work pretty well. Let me go back real quick to the list here. So you had proposed, Farzana, to take off number 6. Wolf Ulrich, you are on the call, or at least I see you in the room. I don't know if you have access to a microphone, but if you could give any feedback that you have with respect to item 6, whether you want to keep that on the list, whether you agree that that's sort of past its prime in terms of timeliness, that would be great. Never hurts to be able to remove something from the list. So let me stop for a second. Check my list here. Wolf, if I can have you just answer that question first, sort of leap the queue, and then I've got Ed and Greg. So, Wolf, I'll turn the mic over to you, sir.
Yes, thanks, Orp, and all. Thank you. My intention, especially for number 6, was not to discuss the bylaws drafting team report, rather than after the council now has accepted, you know, the draft report with some implications for the future, for the implementation of that. To find out, let me say this way, to discuss, you know, potential issues with that. You remember, you know, this report had in advance a very broad discussion on council and on the GNSO, and especially, you know, the CSG had problems with the original report and with, you know, the implications. And right now we are going the first steps. You know, the council is going to develop a guideline or a process for the selection of members for future review teams, for example. This starts, you know, and that implies also that the council has a role on that. And, you know, the big issue was the council role versus the GNSO role in future. And why shouldn't we take, you know, this as a starting point for a discussion within our house about, you know, to get more understanding of each other and the problems which might be implicated here. So it's not just to go through the report itself, but to pick up some really detailed issues and to find out common ways to deal with. That's my idea behind that. So if that is not, you know, the wish of the majority of this team, well, I don't have a problem. Well, also to leave it and to withdraw from that issue. I will come back later on to another issue. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. I mean, Vicky made an interesting comment in the chat, saying it sounds like we have to have a discussion about the proper roles of the GNSO Council versus the GNSO generally. And I guess what I would ask you as a group to consider, and then, you know, if someone wants to raise their hand on it, is to note whether that GNSO review implementation, is that an area to have that discussion? Is it actually an area of discussion to have under the item 8, maintaining the GNSO's traditional policy-making leadership position at ICANN? Is it something that folds under either of those two? And potentially, Wolf Ulrich, you know, your conversation about the impacts of the bylaws changes, thanks for the clarification, not the report, but, you know, what now those bylaw changes may do to the GNSO and its relative relationship between the GNSO writ large and the GNSO Council, that sounds like a very ripe area for conversations. I'm not quite sure how you would all narrow that down or divide them up, but I think you have a number of overlapping potentially areas here. And if any of you have a brainstorm about how, you know, two of these items might go under a third, or how they might be combined, or maybe, you know, a longer period of time with all those under them, or shorter periods of time for them, I would love to hear them, because I think that's sort of a little breakthrough that might help us a little bit here. Thanks very much, Wolf Ulrich, and you can keep your hand up if you want to go back in the queue for something else that you wanted to comment on. Ed, let's try again, since your hand is still up, and you always have valuable contributions. Is your microphone working yet?
Let's see, Rob. Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes. Yes, sir.
I had a brilliant speech earlier. I guess I was talking to myself, so this will be far less brilliant. I would respectfully disagree with my friend Wolf Ulrich about bringing in with Vicky, with bringing this into this meeting. We're going to have an extensive public comment period on the bylaws drafting team report. This may be a topic we want to get to next year when we see how the comments go and how we actually implement the drafting team report itself. I think there are other issues. And I should mention, we brought in the appointments policy. We're working on that now, but let me try to get that back to the Session Ideas thing more generally. I think on number 7, policy through contract, we can fold that into number 8. If you look at what FASNI and CAFI did and any alterations we have, staff created policy by contract for those of us who believe that's what's going on. Phil Corwin in particular has written extensively on this. The BC and NCSG did a joint reconsideration motion about a year ago on the issue that get labeled by domain and site, the odd couple reconsideration. But it's an example of two groups within the NCPH working together. But that can all be merged, I think, into number 8. In terms of why the RPM was suggested and the IP issues were suggested as a possible policy discussion, I go back with something that Greg said a few meetings ago, which is that we should at least use this opportunity to try to examine some issues where perhaps certain people have rigid positions. And the IP issues and the RPM, what I hear when I go to the meetings, are folks arguing about stuff that happened 10 years ago. I hear people that are taking these ideologically perfect, pure positions in the public discussion, but when I talk to some of the folks outside the calls, I find people who are pretty reasonable and willing to compromise. So what I wanted to use that, or what I thought would be a good opportunity to use this meeting for in terms of the IP issues, considering the fact we will have the IPC there, we'll have 2 of the 3 co-chairs there of the RPM, is try to get beyond the ideological positions and see if we can find some common ground. So I thought that would be a good use of the intersession meeting to try to break down some barriers. So that's why that was there. On number 9, the budget discussion, I was hoping to come away with a deliverable here. I do believe that the CSG and NCSG largely are in agreement on most budget issues, except perhaps for compliance and how that should be funded. And I also believe that there's a base difference between our view of the budget and the contracted party house's view of the budget. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to try to find some common ground and even take a deliverable, say a small working group that can work on the budget going forward with both the commercial and non-commercial parties working together on that. I do agree, as I mentioned, with Fozzy about dumping number six, but I also want to talk about the council proposal. I think there are some issues, and Whip Coogan brought one up, which is the appointments policy and what we're doing in council about that. That was something, we have a new appointments proposal that was written by myself and Susan Kimiguchi. We're trialing a modified version right now on the SSR appointment, and I think it would be helpful to get some feedback for Susan and myself in particular about how that works and how others view what we're trying to do there. There are also some hurt feelings coming from India where some CSG amendments at the last minute on the bylaws drafted team report. You know, we have one of the councils from the NCSG, for example, is telling me that she's not going to go to a council dinner ever again because she doesn't know when the CSG is going to drop an amendment on us, which is ridiculous in my view. But I think there are some hurt feelings that should be aired, but I don't necessarily think we need to do this in a large group fashion. But what I would like, if there's some chance for councilors present to get together, but also to have remote participation for Heather, Paul, Rafiq, and councilors who can't be there to participate in some sort of, it could even be an informal gathering of councilors so we could talk through some of our operational issues. And as you do know, Rob, we do have a council meeting at 12 noon on the 16th, which I guess we will have a room availability to participate remotely. So those are just some thoughts. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Ed. I'm going to turn the mic over to Greg with one observation, just a comment on your comments, Ed, and that is the CCNSO does have a small working group on budget items where they work together and actually prepare comments and things like that. So maybe that's something that you guys would like to explore. Greg, you had your hand up, and I'll turn the microphone over to you.
Here. Thanks, it's Greg. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good. My comments in some way are mirror Ed's in a way. First, I think that discussing issues of what I was going to call historic divergence as kind of a evil twin of the one discussing areas where we have common interest. So I think we need to discuss both and see if we can make some headway on bridging some gaps. This is where I mentioned, I think, Chatham House rules or the like, at least for that portion, try to get people out of their kind of formal positions to some extent. With regard to number eight, two points. One is both the GNSO Council and the GNSO as a body have roles here, but it's clearly the GNSO Council that manages the policy development process. Also, it's a little bit vague in the description of what is being alluded to when a statement is made that inroads into policy development have been made by the GAC, ALAC, and even ICANN staff. If policy, so-called policy through contract is an example, I think that's an example of an area where there's going to be divergence. Even if the BCA is agreeing with the NCSG. So we'd have to deal with that. And I think more broadly, if we are going to approach the topic, we also have to add to the description a consideration of maintaining the appropriate roles for GAC, ALAC, and staff. So, GAC and ALAC as ACs give advice. And may also participate in PDP working groups as they've been invited to do. And ICANN staff is charged with implementation, with implementation oversight team, including GSO, and ICANN staff is charged with contracting. So that is, you know, their role. So trying to define contracting as an issue of inroads, I think, is incorrect. Of course, we can save all that for Reykjavik. But I think the description perhaps presumes too much. And as Wolf Ulrich said, it'd be helpful to have some concrete examples of what's being discussed. So perhaps we can have some areas here where we can have some concrete agreement. I think probably relatively little disagreement in watching some of the interesting maneuvers by the GAC in Hyderabad in relation to this particular item. So we may be able to make more common headway there. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Greg.
Thanks very much, Greg.
You can go back on mute, so I don't have to hear myself.
You can go back on mute, but I don't have to hear myself.
One of the areas I've taken a number of notes on Ed's, Greg's, Wolf's, and everybody else's comments, and I'm noting some areas of similarity here. I'll try to capture in a moment. Wolf Ulrich, you had suggested that there was something you wanted to loop back to. And so you've remained in the queue. Let me turn the microphone over to you.
Thanks, Rob. Can you just bring up the list again, you know, the item list? I have some comments to several points. Number six, well, I would agree. Well, okay, just keep it, you know, obviously. It doesn't seem to be the right time to discuss the questions in regard to the implementation, the review team implementation. That is one thing. The other thing is number five. That wasn't my point. I didn't bring that up. I don't know who brought it up. And there is also included, I saw that, number five, your specific subject should be defined. Well, that's it. If there are no subjects, then let's skip it. You know, I was just prepared. Well, I could co-chair that because I'm one of the co-chairs of this review implementation group. But if there is nothing to discuss, well, leave it. Let's skip it. Yeah. Another point is, well, I also, after this discussion and looking to the chat, I would agree to combine number eight and nine. Seven and eight. Sorry. I see here some grounds in discussing number eight. Well, and I'm sure there are examples, so and they should be described, these examples, and then we have a basis for discussion. My very last comment is with regard to the number 10. I remember, so we discussed last time about the possibility for council members to meet. I don't know whether this number 10 is now, you know, that the result of that discussion, because there was not an understanding, broad understanding in the group, you know, why the councillors should meet by themselves. And my suggestion was, if that is necessary, why shouldn't the councillors meet on Thursday morning after the 2 days of board sessions? So I wonder what number 10 is behind and would like to have some explanation. Thank you.
Thanks very much, all. This is Rob. What I'll do is sort of summarize where I think some things are coming together and then note quickly that Ed and Farzaneh are in the queue. It seems that there's been a consensus development to drop number six, to combine seven and eight. And there are actually some other pieces here that could be combined with the new eight. Including the number 10 that you just referenced, Wolf Ulrich. You're right in sharing that there were objections or resistance to having a separate session for just the councillors, not just solely the fact that not every community's delegation includes their councillors, but also just a recognition that might create some programming issues because if the councillors all go off on their own, what's everybody else do in the meantime? And does that then exclude the councillors from a conversation? Where we have sort of landed on that, I think, and it's an interesting way that you all have maybe backed into this, You know, we've sort of struggled in the past about what's the theme of this meeting? What are you trying to accomplish as a whole? And I think in the contribution that Farzaneh and Kathy have made, you're pretty close to it. It's almost the theme of this meeting is looking at the GNSO's traditional policy-making leadership position in ICANN and determining how you as an NCPH, you know, come to some common understanding about what the role is and what it should be going forward, with a whole host of things potentially contributing to that. So I see a great interest among you to do something with eight, and whether that becomes a multi-part session, where that becomes a number of topics that roll into it, I think that's worth exploring. Because I think Farzaneh and Kathy, you've sort of tapped into something here that's much more thematic, as well as something that can be talked about in a detailed way. So I will make changes to this list to reflect, you know, the decisions to, you know, cut six. There is a strong proposal with actually no support or follow up to keep five. So almost a suggestion that five would somehow find its way into eight. Certainly that seven would find its way into eight. 10, basically, Wolf Ulrich, that was a recognition that, you know, the counselors would be involved in some of the broader topics that might involve them and their work on the council. Well, that's the case. That's also eight. So I think you all managed fairly quickly to combine a number of things, maybe shorter topics, maybe combined in other ways, to all put it under eight. I'll look to see what Farzaneh and Kathy's reaction is going to be, whether that follows that or whether we just create another placeholder. But I think you've been able to reduce this by three. On the mailing list, I would like you all to give me feedback about those of you who would want to have an exchange with the staff leader of the ICANN compliance function so we can determine whether that would be just part of the senior staff conversation, whether that would be its own separate session, or whether you want to have a conversation with Maggie or Jamie in your own individual breakout sessions. That might be another way to go with that. I note that some of you are having to drop off, but I want to give an opportunity, and we'll have it recorded and transcribed, for Ed Farzaneh, and I don't know, Greg, if you want your hand to go back up there. But any quick final comments, Ed and Farzaneh?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Just briefly, on number one, it would be very helpful considering the fact that at least on the NCSG, we have a lot of newcomers coming to this meeting. If each group could give a brief description as to who they represent and how they determine policy, what is their how within the group, how they determine policy. For example, even things like are their counselors bound or not. In other words, just a brief description of how their groups functioned before they go into the priorities for the 2017 calendar year. Lastly, on number 10, I think Wolf Kuban broached Thursday. That's just it would be fine for me if we just set up, say, 20 minutes on Thursday morning before our formal council meeting, just to have an NCPH-only council meeting with the remote participation, since we're probably pretty much all going to be together at that time anyhow to go into the 12 o'clock session. At least an idea. Thanks so much.
Thanks. We'll figure out a way to make that work. Ed, you weren't on the last call, but we did share with folks that we will have a room for counselors in attendance who want to sit in and collectively participate in the GNSO call. And you guys basically have from like 8:30 to 12 for those of you who are going to have, and it looks like all of you are going to have, some form of a community meeting or session. And so if you'd like to all agree that you'll leave a half hour left over between 11 and 11:30 or something like that, that also allows people to check out, then I think that there's definitely flexibility for the counselors independently to get together and maybe even rope in you know, those others who won't be able to attend.
That would be fantastic. Thanks, Rob. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And I think we can add to the number one presentation of group priorities for 2017 calendar year that you all proposed would be a great start off of the meeting to add that component, Greg. I'm sorry, Ed, as to how people make decisions and how the different groups come together on sort of governing the work of their counselors. Farzaneh, I will give you the next to last word.
Thank you, Rob. So I am going to just assure you that we came up with this topic because And we suggested it because we do have examples in mind. Actually, I do have an example that happened last year, and I think we have common ground with CSG on this, that this issue, that it should not have taken place. But I'm not being clear now. I cannot give you details on this call, but I'm going to just briefly mention the issue on the mailing list. And then we can see whether we should also keep a number 7 as well, and as well as 8. But anyway, that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I will take a crack at pulling together the conversations from the last two planning calls, this one and the previous one. I think whether you feel it or not, you have made some substantial progress in terms of narrowing and figuring out how this list is going to work. So, I mean, with that, the additional request to give me feedback on the compliance function piece, I will work on that here over the next 24, 48 hours and get that out to you all, and plenty of time to associate before the next call. I am also going to pull out the magic hat and just randomly assign community leadership slots for those sessions that still appear to remain. And then on the next call, we can sort of look and see if folks want a horse trade, if you're fine with what the list looks like, and some of the breakouts. The other little twist I'm going to do is to try to play around with how 8 might be a longer session. I may wait until I see some more dialogue from all of you on the mailing list. Thank you again, not only to the new members of the planning team who joined us today, but for all of those of you who have been through this all the way through so far. We'll meet again same time next week, where we will be down to 33 days. Thanks all very much for your cooperation and flexibility in putting this all together. And we'll communicate on the list and talk to you all next week. Thanks very much. Bye-bye now.
Raymond, you may now stop the recording.
Thank you. One moment.